Well, the intro isn't quite yet playing. So anyway, welcome to Unleash Your Courage. This is your host, Angela Schroeder. If you're joining us live on Turf Step Radio or on Facebook, we are glad to have you here live, or if you're watching the podcast by recording, we're excited to have Nick with us here today. We're going to try and play some intro music and our introduction, and then we'll get started with Nick. So I get to have Nick here joining us. I met Nick this year in Vegas, right? At IWCA conference.
Yes. Yeah. It was awesome. A good time.
It was a good time. And have enjoyed connecting with him since then. So instead of me doing a whole formal, Nick, I'm going to have you just tell the audience a little bit about you. Whatever you want to share about your story.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm a fourth generation window cleaner. So window cleaning has been in my family since the 1920s. When I started window cleaning when I was 13, and I never thought I'd actually own my own window cleaning company. I never wanted to, but after high school or college, one semester, I was like, I don't know what I want to do. And so here I am 10 years later, still running it. And yeah, let's get into it. That's a little nutshell about me.
I love it. Fourth generation. And tell everyone where you're from as well.
Oh, yeah, right. Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So, you know, right by the Rocky Mountains, we do a lot of snowboarding up here. We have the Stampede that just finished, which is a bunch of craziness. We play Cowboys and Indians for about 10 days straight and, you know, party every night. So it gets a little crazy up here. And then also, you know, in the winter it drops down to minus 50. So we have those extremes, but love being Canadian, love living north of the border. And yeah.
Wow. Okay. We might have to go back into that Stampede. Is that what you said?
Stampede. Yeah. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
It's called the largest outdoor show on earth. Like that's their tagline. It's gigantic. They have like the rodeo, bunch of different concerts going on. Like there's probably, I don't even know how many concerts. They have a bunch of different tents set up all over the city, all over downtown. Everybody's dressed up as a cowboy or a cowgirl or an Indian as well too.
Wow.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah. We actually have the contract for the window cleaning at their whole grounds. So it's like, yeah, we had to get them all ready for everything, and it's always so hectic. And then there was a lot of rain, so they wanted us to redo a bunch of stuff. So this year was a bit crazy, but it was like the second highest attendance they've ever had this last year. So we almost broke the record, but just didn't get there. But it's super cool. Yeah, if you're ever in Calgary, you should definitely come check it out. Bring your cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and you know, you'll definitely get a lot of use out of them. Actually, after my first day, I used to like play the whole 10 days, but this last time I was not feeling it. And I had one day in cowboy boots and then I was like, no more. No.
Well, this might require a special trip. We'll get on with the other stuff, but I'm like, oh, this sounds like a party. And obviously you've been super busy. If you were involved, if your business was involved in the cleaning, this wasn't just about fun for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so fourth generation, you've told me about that before, but again, wow, like the history and legacy you passed down. And even after four generations of owning, like, of window cleaning, did they all own businesses, or is it four generations of window cleaning or entrepreneurship?
Four generations of window cleaning. So this started in England just after World War One. My great grandpa, he was looking for things to do, and he started window cleaning, and then he got his kids to start doing it with him. So
okay.
He started on a bike, and then his kids got into it, and so my dad, his grandson, my dad started collecting money when he was 8. So he would go around with my grandpa and they'd knock on doors because they would clean the windows during the day. And then my grandpa and my dad would come around at night and pick up the money. So my dad started doing that when he was really young, when he was 8. But so my grandparents came over here in like the 80s. Yeah, they've been here for 42 years, so 81. And my dad, he was actually crushed from the waist down. He was crushed by a forklift. So he was like in school going to Mount Royal, and then he got crushed by a forklift and he got severe brain damage. And it's actually crazy. The day of his accident is the same day of my birthday. So it's kind of weird how that works. So he was crushed from the waist down, and then he kind of like lost a lot of his memory. So when he got out of the hospital, he was like, oh, what do I do now? He's like, well, I still remember how to clean windows. So he started a window cleaning company. And then, so that's how window cleaning started here. And then him and my uncle kind of started their own business. And then my dad kind of faded out. And I didn't really like working with my uncle. And I didn't know my dad too well because my parents got split up. So when I got out of high school, I was like, oh, I want to rekindle the relationship with my dad. And then, so I took his old company name and restarted the business. Went to his house, went through his garage. Oh my God, it was so dirty. It was like a hoarder's garage, but I cleaned it out. I found all the equipment that I could, and I had one ladder, fixed his pressure washer. And then that's how I kind of like started my business when I was 19. So it wasn't all like in one fluid motion. And yeah, it would be great if everything was in Canada, but I mean, my uncles in England still have some of the same contracts. Like they've been doing some buildings for like 50 years. So, and they're still doing it. My uncle Martin has a company in England. His son Ross has his own company too. Like my brother has a company, window cleaning company here in Calgary. We're just a bunch of window cleaners.
I love it. Like you said, it's not one just fluid, you know, sometimes there's a story and a business is passed down and it all seems, like you said, fluid. And but this, like, what a great story of perseverance and picking up. And, you know, even the story of your dad, like, well, I still remember how to wash windows. Like, here's something I can do and make a business of it. And then you as well, like, you didn't think that was necessarily going to be your path or what you were going to do, but something that you can pick up and make it your own. And I love that. Like, it all went back to the family, you know, family roots and picking up, like I said, just picking up and starting and starting your own thing.
Yeah. And it's funny because like on my mom's side, my mom's from Trinidad, and in Trinidad, my great grandpa on that side, he started also riding around on his bike selling fabric. So in Trinidad, there's a street called Saparo Street, and he ended up like buying all these shops, and he gave one to each of his kids. So each one of his kids sells fabric, and they're all right beside each other, and they're all competing with each other, and everybody hates each other. And it's hilarious because I go down there and I talk to all my uncles, and they're all in the same street, and then they're like talking crap about the other one. But when I was 18, I went over there and spent some time. So I got like a really good look at what it was like to run your own business, and at a young age. So I was like, all right, well, this is definitely what I want to do. Because I knew if I went to school and I didn't like it, it's like, okay, well, I just wasted like all this time. At least for starting a business, I can build something up and possibly exit it or just keep doing it.
So that kind of gave you the itch for entrepreneurship and knowing that you wanted to do knowing you wanted to create your own, you know, run your own business and create your own thing, you just.
Yeah, that kind of did. And then also I suck at school. So I was like, I went for a semester at Mount Royal, which is a university here, and like did not see myself wanting to do any more schooling. So I was like, okay, what can I do that's going to provide for me? And I'm going to have fun at it. And, you know, actually like window cleaning, climbing up ladders, trying to figure out how you're going to do some of like the more intricate stuff is pretty fun. So yeah, I started doing that. And the other thing too, is like, people are so stoked when you clean their windows, but I should say Christmas lights is a whole nother level of stokedness. Like people will be jumping up and down after you do Christmas lights. Window cleaning is good, but Christmas lights, like the kids are coming outside, losing their mind and stuff. So like making people happy was one of my like principles. Like I was always like, oh, I just want to make people happy. And I used to say that all the time. And now I'm just like, okay, I want to make the right people happy, because I can't just make everybody happy. I got to pick and choose. So pick the right people and make them happy. So not everybody's going to be your customer. Not everybody's going to be your employee, but like the ones that are, you know, let's crush it and let's knock it out of the park with the ones that you can.
Oh, that's a good statement that we're going to come back to. Christmas lights, joy, making people happy, all of that. We're going to take our first commercial break and we'll dive back into Christmas and happiness right after the break.
Let's get it.
Have you considered artificial turf? It's great for areas with high precipitation, which means no mud after a heavy rain and no more mowing wet grass. Today's artificial turf is made using recycled materials and helps to reduce water consumption in areas of drought. Turf Envy's artificial turf is constructed of quality raw materials, safe for pets, humans, and our environment. With decades of experience, our staff can help with support, training, and product education to give you confidence when estimating a project for a potential customer. Learn more at turfnvusa.com today.
You're listening to Turfs Up Radio, the only radio station of its kind dedicated to the green industry. Turfs Up Radio, your industry, your station.
Hey, everybody, Wayne Vogt.
Oh, hopefully that commercial comes back on.
The Prophet, your host of Prophet Time here on Turfs Up Radio. If you listen to my show, you know I'm all about profit. As an industry, profit is something we fail to meet most of the time. If you're working hard but not seeing the results that you deserve, Profits Unlimited is here to help. We offer processes and systems designed specifically to make your company more successful, more profitable, and certainly more efficient. When you're ready to take your company to the next level, reach out to me at profitsareus.com. That's profitsareus.com. And don't forget to turn into Profit Time every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m.
Are you a military family with a spouse on deployment away from home? Did you know that nonprofit Project Evergreen has thousands of volunteers across the country ready to help military families with lawn, landscape, and snow removal services? We call it Green Care and Snow Care for troops. If you are a military family and would like to receive this free service, or if you'd like to volunteer to help, visit projectevergreen.org. Project Evergreen, creating a greener, healthier, cooler earth, one yard at a time.
Busy work burning you out? Kick it to the curb and do more of what you love. How? With Landscape Management Network, to spend less time creating estimates, tracking crews, doing job costing, managing invoices and payroll, and more. FYI, the average LMN contractor spends 50% less time doing payroll, increases profits, and lands more jobs. Put an end to burnout. Visit golmn.com/turfsup. That's golmn.com/turfsup to get started.
Have you considered artificial turf? It's great.
And we're back. We're doing a little bit of technical difficulties today, but it's all good. Okay, so we are back to Christmas lights and making people happy. So So in addition to window washing, you didn't mention that in your intro, but I knew that because I was also with you at Clipa.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't mention that. We do. Yeah. We do snow removal, Christmas lights, gutter cleaning, pressure washing.
So when did you add Christmas lights on?
Added Christmas lights in 2017. The first huge convention I went to, I was rooming with Rudy, this guy I met on the Facebook groups. He's like, yo, you want to share a room? And I was like, okay, cool. And when I got there, he's like, do you do Christmas lights? I'm doing it. And it's really, really going really good. I can hook you up with someone who can get you a discount. So that was 5 years ago. It's been, Christmas lights is a little bit more, there's more variables for sure. It's not as cut and dry as window cleaning. Like, you got to have all the right things to make sure you can do the job, and a little more systems, and yeah, so it's been fun. I'm really trying to blow it up this year. Went to Clipa, learned a shit ton.
You can say that. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah, now I'm just trying to implement everything. I was looking back at some of my notes from Clipa, and I was like, oh my gosh, I learned so much. I need to get this in the training and start training it out to the team right now, because we're gearing up. We're asking people to pre-book this year. Last year we waited too long and it started snowing a bunch. So there was a few of our customers that actually ended up just canceling and not doing it because there was too much snow. So this year we're trying to like get it done early, especially the people that live closer to the mountains where there is that chance that it's going to just snow like crazy and we might not be able to get up there and do it. So
yeah, you probably have a little bit different of a, I was going to go to the joy, but that's an interesting with your weather and installation, because you get, when does your snow start and you have a lot of snow?
That's a thing. We never know. Like sometimes it can start snowing in October, September, maybe even. And then like just having that little base of snow, especially if it's in somewhere that's like when the sun's a little lower and it's like shaded all day, it doesn't really melt up as much. So if the roofs are all covered in snow, like some, you can't even hang the lights because the gutter is frozen. Like it's crazy. And like with takedown too, like if we're taking down the lights and everything's still frozen, we just have to tell the customer, hey, when it's thawed, or else we're just going to destroy our lights taking them down. So it always changes. I would love for it to start snowing in December. Sometimes it does, but most of the time it's like late October, early November. But yeah, we get chinooks too. So like the warm air from the ocean comes over the Rocky Mountains and warm everything up. So like we'll have like minus 30 Celsius weather, and then it will warm up to like 0 or 10 degrees and start melting some stuff, and then it'll go back down. So it's a little crazy when we have these Chinooks. So like hopefully they'll get warm enough that it will melt all the snow. So that's what we kind of pray for if we do get early snow, but you never really know. So there's a lot of variables to running a business up here. And then we also do snow removal too. So trying to do snow. Oh, wow. Yeah. So the transition into the winter period is like, we're doing all 5 services at once. Like one day we're doing snow, then we're hanging lights, then we're cleaning windows, then we might be pressure washing, and it can be pretty hectic around that time of year. So
exactly. And then the snow of what you're wishing for of weather, right? Because you want the snow, so you make money on snow removal, but then that affects the other sides and the
holiday. Well, yeah, we want the snow later in the season when we have nothing else to do. If it only worked out that way.
How can we perfectly design the weather to work out for our business and align?
Yeah, I'm still trying to patent my weather machine, but it's pending.
I don't want to have anything to do with your negative 50 degree weather. So,
yeah.
No. It doesn't.
Sometimes I like the cold. Like I snowboard a lot, so it's good. But like when it's super hot out too, like I'd rather it be super cold than super hot, because I can still like operate in super cold, but super hot.
I don't like either one. I just cold plunged for the first time this last week. And it was an amazing experience. It was incredible. Like, but I do not like being cold, so it took a lot for me to, it took some months for me to get up to it. But But now I think it'll be regular. So you guys, you need the cold plunge, negative 50. You can just walk outside and sit in the snow.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never done that. but yeah.
Okay, so tell me about, you're ready to blow it up this year. So you've been doing it. Is it the first year you went to Clipa and decided to make a change? Are you doing commercial, residential?
We do both. So 1 year we landed like a huge barn. It was like a 20-something thousand dollar project. So we do both commercial and residential, but we learned, like, we got this huge barn. They rented the lights from us and then they never came back. So we had a bunch of stock. And last year I bought even more stock. We just, the way things worked out, we ended up just sitting on a bunch of stuff. So this year my goal is to get it all out. So we're inventorying everything, but yeah, residential and commercial. And we're trying to like mess with our pricing a little bit, trying to give more value to customers, include some things for free, be a little bit different, but social media, Facebook, I have a guy who I'm going to be working with for Facebook ads and, yeah, really hoping to crush it. Actually, Dave Hamill, he introduced me to this guy. So apparently,
the Facebook ads.
Yeah. He introduced me to the Facebook ad guy, Nelly. So yeah, hopefully with the right marketing, we can do what we want to do.
You're absolutely going to crush it. You should connect with JC on Christmas lights. So make sure I do that after.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Or sometime.
Yeah.
Okay. So that part though, you're saying back to the joy of that part you love the most, because it brings people joy. Is that what I heard you say? Like making people happy? Not that clean windows don't make people happy. They do.
Clean windows. Like people are like, oh wow, my house looks so great. And there's like a level of excitement, but then like the level of excitement for Christmas lights is like, it's like two times, three times as much. Like people are stoked when you clean their windows, but like the Christmas season, it's just, there's no real way to describe it. Nobody is really that excited. Like nobody's going to, you clear their snow. They're not like, oh, thanks so much for clearing my snow. Like this looks fantastic. Like I can't wait for you to come clean it again next week when it snows again. It's like, but when you have the lights up, they're like, the kids are outside, the whole family comes out, everybody's like, they want to take a picture with you or whatever. You don't really get that type of feeling in any other service. Mm-hmm. Well, at least that I offer. So, and I mean, if I go to the dentist, I'm not like, wow, this dentist is like, wow, check out, my machine looks so good. Like that level of stokedness is rare to find in a service. So it's cool. I really like Christmas lights. We want to do a lot more. Hopefully my goal is to get out of snow removal, because I kind of hate it. So lights with the snow removal.
Yeah.
And then have a little bit of time off each year. So that's what we're working towards this year.
I love that. And as an entrepreneur, you can shift and, like you said, do what you love, get rid of the things that you don't love, and explode the things that you do, and spreading that joy, and so that you can offload and get rid of the things that you don't like to do. That's what it's all about.
For sure.
So what is your favorite part of being an entrepreneur? Favorite part, and then I'm gonna ask you what you think the most challenging is.
Okay, favorite part. I really like being creative. I like thinking of new ideas, problem solving. So I love being challenged. And you know, when you wake up every day and nobody's telling you what to do, you have to figure it out yourself. That's a challenge in itself. Like, what's the top priority? What are we gonna work on today? What are we gonna work on next week? What are we gonna push back till the end of next year? So I really like trying to figure out what's the lowest hanging fruit, as they say, and then diving into it and getting that done and seeing what comes out of it and moving on to the next thing. And the most challenging.
I love that, where you're thinking of that, they create we all talk about, the dreaming part of it, the creating part, you said, of, You know, that's the visionary entrepreneur, the creating problem solving that we love. But I love also that you identified that it is every day that we wake up and think, okay, what is it that I'm supposed to do today? And having to make that decision each and every day of, am I going after this new rabbit that I just thought of? Or am I supposed to be taking care of this low-hanging fruit? And, you know, we get to design and decide what we do each day, but then the challenge of being accountable and making sure that that's all done and the balance of that as well.
For sure. And that's one of the things I've kind of come to realize is like people that run their businesses and they're miserable. It's like, you're the inventor. You invented that. So you can change it. You invented that life that you're living. So you have the power to change it as well. So I realized that and I was like, what am I doing to myself? Like the systems I've created are giving me this lifestyle. I think we need to change the system so I can have the lifestyle I'm actually hoping for, because you can hope and wish and pray for anything, but it's an equation. I've had this idea for a long time, but like everybody's looking for a new answer, but they're unwilling to change the equation. So like you need to change what you're putting in to get change what you're getting out. I'm really like, you know, and then when you have the right people, it's kind of like you have a little bracket to the power of two or to the power of three. And it's like, these people are going to exponentially make things way better. So, I've been like low key writing a book for the last 5 years and it's called The Equation. And it's like, you know, everybody wants to answer, but they're unwilling to change the equation. So change what you put in and you change what you're going to get out of it.
One, I didn't know that you were writing a book. So yay.
I haven't told anybody really.
Well, now you just told everyone.
Now I told everyone. Yeah.
I'm excited for that. And I love this concept. I mean, you probably saw my expression of one, you're the inventor. You invented this life. If you're miserable, you invented this. And then that metaphor of the equation that people want something different, but they're not willing to change the process that got them there. So that is a great foundation for
it. Well, they're like, oh, I want this. They're focused on the answer, but they're not focused on the equation, because the equation is what gives you the answer. So it's like, I'm a math nerd. And I also wrote a song called Love is Math. So I'm like, I'm all into math, but you know, you think about these things.
We didn't learn that in your introduction either, that you are a musician and have a lot of guitars, right?
Actually, if love was math, I'd be the remainder. No, I wrote it when I was 13. It was a long time ago.
Oh, okay. More on more on musician. We got to get to more on this inventor and the challenges of entrepreneurship, but we're going to take our second commercial break and then we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
True Fuel is a high-octane fuel precision engineered
for your 2 and 4 equipment.
They use the most advanced synthetic lubricants and stabilizers in an ethanol-free fuel, improving performance, protecting your equipment, and saving you time. That means easier startups, smoother idling, and quicker trigger response, plus extended life for all of your equipment. True Fuel is ready to use and easy to store, helping your operations be more efficient and reducing maintenance costs. We at TurfSup use True Fuel because we know it works and we know it's the best option. Check out TrueFuel50.com to learn more. That's TRUFUEL50.com.
You're listening to TurfSup Radio, the only radio station of its kind dedicated to the green industry. Now you can even ask Alexa to tune you in when you're home.
Are outdated spreadsheets and whiteboard scheduling costing you jobs? Or is a lack of consistency between crews causing your bids to differ from job to job? Or worse, delaying critical invoices and payments? Crew Control offers all-in-one business management solutions fit for every trade. From bidding and scheduling to invoicing and integrating payments, Crew Control provides real-time visibility into your crew's efficiency, whether you're in the field, in the office, or even on vacation. Manage your crews more effectively and improve business performance with Crew Control. Start your free trial today at crewcontrol.com.
From the East Coast to the West Coast and around the world, here's to all the women in the green industry. Turfs Up Radio, your industry, your station.
True Fuel is a high-octane fuel precision-engineered for your 2- and 4-cycle equipment. They use the most advanced synthetic lubricants and stabilizers in an ethanol-free fuel, improving performance, protecting your equipment, and saving you time. That means easier startups, smoother idling, and quicker trigger response, plus extended life for all of your equipment. True Fuel is ready to use and easy to store, helping your operations be more efficient and reducing maintenance costs. We at Turfs Up use True Fuel because we know it works and we know it's the best option. Check out TrueFuel50.com to learn more. That's TRUFUEL50.com.
You're listening to Turfs Up Radio, the only radio station of its kind dedicated to the green industry. Now you can even ask Alexa to tune you in when you're home.
And we're back. Okay, so inventor, musician, I don't know what we're going to dive into. Like I said, I just love that concept so much. I know that's going to be one of my takeaways of, you know, everything that's frustrating you in your life, or if your business is creating a lifestyle that you don't love, that you dread, you said, of just really taking ownership for that, of you're the inventor. That's one of the most powerful parts of being an entrepreneur, that you're the inventor not only of your business, but of your life. And you get to decide your role in your business and what it all looks like. Now, we all have to go through seasons of grind and work, you know, and grinding sometimes to get to the next level, and seasons of purgatory. But what are you going to do to change the equation? And that doesn't just mean doing more work. How are you going to, you know, engineer an equation to get you to the solution that you want?
Yeah. Finding the light at the end of the tunnel, pretty much.
So when's the book coming out?
Well, actually, you know, now that ChatGPT and AI, like, I English is my worst subject. Like, I have these ideas. I've always had these ideas since I was a kid. Like, my mom always said I was going to be an inventor. We'd go on long car trips and I'd just be like talking about all these ideas. So I have no idea when this book is going to come out. But with ChatGPT, at least now I can like be like, how would I say this? And then it's like, okay, yeah, that's exactly how I would say this. Maybe I can write a lot of more stuff. I have a lot of notes on it. And right now, I guess the season of my business is I'm getting to the point where I kind of have enough staff to almost, like, the business can run without me. So it's a exciting time, and I'm trying to figure out, because this is my 11th year. So the last 10 years, I've really just been like working on growing this thing. But now it's super exciting. Like, I'm going to be able to work on other things. So I'm kind of just finishing up what I need to do. And then I'm looking at what the next thing is going to be. I do want to start more locations for my company, so that's a thing, but I haven't really thought about when I'm going to finish writing this book. But hey, you know, I really like that you enjoyed that, so maybe that's going to give me more inspiration.
So it's a fun season when you get to be in that and you get to decide and step away and then recreate and what that looks like. But I absolutely loved my book journey and publishing. And it was so different than I thought it would be. So when someone tells me they want to write a book, I'm like, oh, I have not let you off the hook. Here we go. Like I said, it's totally different than I thought it would be. I thought like the work was in writing, and I don't even know what I thought writing looked like. But I went through an incredible program with a professor at Georgetown, and then just a team of editors that help you. Like, I'm not an English professor or great at English, and it took a lot. I think it takes a lot also for an entrepreneur brain that is ADD, you know, like you said, not great at school. I think a lot of us don't love school because you have to focus and follow the rules. And instead of like, oh, new idea. I'm done with, you know, deadlines and trying to follow those rules. And so writing a book is a different challenging, getting your brain to work in that way and having to finish that. Like you said, with AI, and there's great editors out there that help you put your ideas.
Yeah.
Into, and not just your ideas, like that it also comes across in your voice, but how can you do it in a way that you just get to storytell, just like you, that you have with me, that instead of thinking it's such a chore of like, I have to sit down and write, that how can you create a system? So we'll talk about that because I love helping people do it. How can you create a process and do a process and just have a conversation with somebody and tell stories? And then, because that's really what a book is just everything that you told me, talking about inventing and equations, is all that with all your stories laced in. So
yeah.
We'll be excited to celebrate your book. Okay. Now, before I think time goes so quickly, but the most challenging part of being an entrepreneur, since we didn't get to that yet.
I would say, I don't know. I think a lot of entrepreneurs have this problem, is just, you see the good in everybody and you're like, oh, this guy is so good. He can do these things good. But then you don't realize like the bad, you're so like wanting to see the best in everybody that you don't realize like the hard truths. Mm. So, I think that is the hardest part, is realizing the hard truth. That's actually, we have a new team member this year who's come on, and he's kind of like, just says things the way they are. And I'm like, that's right. Exactly. Like, we can't beat around the bush. For you to get where you're wanting to go, like, there's certain types of people that you need working for you, and there's certain types of people that you definitely do not need. So being able to see that, having the vision to identify who's the right and wrong people, that has been the most challenging, just because I really try to see the best in everybody. So yeah, that's one thing I've been working on, and I'm trying to delegate that. I'm like, who can I find that's better at that than me, because I'm terrible at it. So searching for someone. I think I found them. I hope I did. But yeah, one of our guys yesterday was talking about how he's like, you can definitely tell the people like who are passionate and really want to stay and like are going to be here for a long time, to the people who are like, oh, this is my summer job. And when he said that to me, I was like, might be the guy who takes this over for me and picks and chooses who comes into the company, because being able to like call, say, hey, these people shouldn't be here is it takes a lot of, I don't know. You just really have to know who you are and know where the defined business is going. So yeah.
I love that. And I can relate with that a lot. We want to see the best in people. We want the best for people and just see those best parts. Instead of, like you said, there are people that's not my skill set of things are black and white. And I'm able to do it for other people and like for clients, but I have the same thing in my own organization. Like, there are absolute KPIs, there are absolute deadlines, there are absolute standards, and it is business, and this is the way like things have to be met. But you always see the best in people, just want to see the good part, and like, oh, I'm sure you'll get it next time.
And that's why KPIs are great, because if you don't have KPIs, you're just like, oh, I feel like everything's good. But then when you look on paper, it's like, okay, well, this person actually sucks. Yes. So,
and they're just a clear communication, right? This is the absolute standard that has to be met. These are the expectations. And then they know it's a clear communication. They know that the expectations that need to be met to be contributing to the team and to the business as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you set clear expectations, that's probably that's definitely what you need to be doing to run a successful company, is have success, clear expectations. And I think that was probably the hardest part at the beginning, is I didn't have clear expectations. And most businesses, I don't. They don't know what the heck they're doing. Well, startups. But once you start to get there and realize, okay, this is the expectation. If I don't do this, then I'm unintentionally doing the exact opposite. So either intentionally do what you need to do, or you're going to unintentionally do screwing you.
There's another nugget for your book. Well, we are all out of time. So our wrap up question each week, like I said, gone so fast, Nick, and can't wait to be with you in person at the Huge. You're coming to the Huge, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Oh yeah.
So I'll see you in a couple weeks again. Yeah. So we wrap up each episode with a challenge to the audience of what is one thing that you need to do this week to get uncomfortable. And so we start with us. I'm going to put you on the spot. One thing that you need to do in your life to get uncomfortable, then I'll share and then the audience can chime in if they want. I couldn't see who was commenting before, because for us to see, you have to register your name with StreamYard. But Tyler and Jacob, thank you for saying hello. And if anyone else wants to say hello before we sign off or answer that question in the chat, feel free to share. So now it's all you, Nick. What is one thing you need to do to get uncomfortable?
One thing I need to do to get uncomfortable? Well, I feel like I'm trying to be more uncomfortable these days. So I'm being coached right now. This isn't in business. Does it have to be in business or what?
No.
My goal right now is to get paid $100 for playing a show guitar. I play guitar and I sing. So that's my goal, my outside of the business goal. I'm trying to work on my personal vision, because I realize like my business vision has been so taking over my personal life that I'm trying to build up my personal vision again. So that's my personal goal.
Yeah. Awesome. And it all intertwines, because when we stretch ourselves personally, you know, the more we get out of our comfort zone in anything, it stretches all of our life and how we are as a person. And I love that you talked about personal vision, because that is so important in finding your why and really having a strong personal mission and vision. And then that's how, you know, you can be the ultimate inventor. Then how does your business align with what you really want for your life? So mine several weeks ago of getting uncomfortable was cold plunge, and then I finally did it. So I feel like I am going through a season. I'll be sharing more about that. It is lots of me stepping up into uncomfortable over and over again. And for me, that really means right now letting go of control, of constantly letting go of the plan has to be my plan and my way. But my one thing I'm going to say is, so that's what I was going to talk about, but you sparked that with the seeing the best in everyone. And my uncomfortable is going to be, how do I let that go to another person of like, we absolutely have to hold people accountable to those KPIs, have to hold that, because that's, we just have to. So how can I, like you said, find somebody who does it better? And so I'm going to find someone who does it better and let go of that. Give somebody else that control.
Love it.
So, well, thank you so much for joining us, Nick. Yeah, it was awesome to be with you virtually, and I'll see you in person. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us live or by recording. We're here every Wednesday at 1:00 Eastern. Have a great week.
All right. See you guys.